thing. We've announced that we're going to tell how God in His goodness and mercy reached and saved our precious souls. You know, it's a real joy to be able to stand before you and tell you tonight of how God saved us. And in telling this story, we do trust that it will be a blessing to any in our meeting who are not saved. Oh, beloved friend, what God has done for us, He will and He can do for you. And we trust then that in the telling of our stories, God will be glorified, and some of you dear ones will be helped, and that you'll be saved even tonight. Now I want to read just one verse with you, a lovely, well-known, precious verse, John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And may the Lord bless that lovely portion to your heart this evening, as He did to my heart a little over 28 years ago. I was born the first time in Orillia, Ontario. I was born the second time in the same town. Born into a Christian family. And I'm very thankful for that, beloved. Indeed I am. I look back and I cherish the memory of godly parents. Parents who knew the Lord and who loved it, and who sought to bring us up as children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. My dear dad and mother and the brother are home with the Lord in heaven. And I look forward to that blessed moment, that happy moment when we'll meet again in the presence of our blessed Savior, meet to part no more. I might also say that not only did I have Christian parents, but I had Christian grandparents on both sides. I myself am a third generation in the assemblies. My oldest lad, who's now in the meeting, is a fourth generation. Oh, I'm thankful that God saved me, and also that I was brought up to appreciate in a little measure the privilege as well as the responsibility of gathering according to the simple principles of the New Testament scriptures for the gathering of believers. Brought up then under the sound of the Word of God. Brought up and from my earliest days, I knew that I was a sinner. Brought up and I can recall father and mother praying for their children, praying that God would save them. I suppose as we look backward in our lives, there are a number of things that will stand out. Oh, we can recall that God spoke to us on certain occasions. I suppose one of these occasions in my life, in which I heard the voice of God in a very marked way, was when the Lord very suddenly took home to heaven an older brother. He was a brother that I loved dearly. And he's a brother that I've missed an awful lot. But you know, I wasn't saved when he went home to heaven. And I'll never forget standing in our front room, standing beside that casket, and there was all that was left, the mortal remains of a beloved brother. No, I'll never forget placing my hand upon his cold hand. The thought came home to my heart, brought home by God the Holy Spirit. If this were you, where would your soul be? Oh, I tell you, friends, and so God spoke to my heart, trying to bring me even as a young lad to the realization of the fact not only that I was a sinner, but I was in danger of being lost and lost for all eternity. I can remember being in gospel meetings, and God spoke to me. I remember being in Sunday school, and teachers faithfully telling us the way of salvation, and my heart would be moved within me. Look, beloved Sunday school teachers, I suppose that I was like many another pupil. I don't think for a moment I let that be seen in my face. I did my very best to keep it hidden. But God knows the very definite impressions were being written upon my heart that I was realizing I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I'm on my way down to a lost eternity. And I want to tell you, I wasn't a bad boy. Oh, I was a mischievous fellow. I could get into as much mischief as anybody else. But, beloved, I never swore. I never took the name of the Lord Jesus in vain, the name of God in vain. Oh, no, I was brought up in the fear of God. I attended the Sunday school. Why, we used to get awards, and we had to learn, maybe we'd be present 50 or 51 or sometimes 52 Sundays in the year and learn old verses after verses. Brought up in a Christian family, learning the Word of God, attending Sunday school, attending gospel meetings, and all the time a sinner on the way down to hell. You know, I remember something else that spoke to me. In those days, we had a hymn book, a little Pacific hymn book. Some of you will remember it. And on that hymn book were these simple words, to be left on the seat. To be left on the seat. Well, you know what that means, don't you? Well, just leave your hymn book behind. Listen, beloved, I want to tell you that God used that little statement to speak to my young heart. Why, think of it. Oh, there's a man preaching the gospel, and he's telling sinners how to be saved. And he's telling sinners the Lord is coming, and if the Lord comes, you'll be left in the sea. I tell you, it used to make my young heart tremble. And what will it be in reality for those who are left behind when the Lord comes? The end of December 1929, there was a conference in Orillia. They had a large conference there the close of every year. And as a young fellow, I had to go to meetings. And I recall going along to the meetings. The conference closed on the Sunday night, the 29th of December, or rather the 31st of December. And I was there at the gospel meeting. And I couldn't tell you what the preacher said. I have no idea. I know who the preacher, one of the preachers were. It was Mr. G.O. Benner. Dear man, much used of God. But I recall as I sat in that meeting, I shook. I knew. I'm lost. Friend, have you found that out yet? You know, that's a solemn thing, but it's true. If you're in your sins, you're lost. I found that out and it gripped my heart. And yet, friend, listen. I left that meeting. I went out, straight out through as quickly as I could. I was afraid somebody would buttonhole me and ask me if I was saved. I went home. I didn't hear the announcements. The only way that I can account for that is I was in such a distress from listening to the Word of God that I just didn't hear what they were saying. But they announced that there would be a watch night service in the hall. I slipped out and I didn't want to stand around in the yard either, because preachers had a habit, you know, of walking up to you and catching you by the coat and saying, "I need help." Why, you know, that's a good, healthy question. It'd be well if some of you would face it. Because, beloved friend, if you're not saved tonight, you're lost. And you're in danger of being lost forever. But I went home. We lived, I suppose, a little over a mile out, just outside of town. And I beat the folks home, and it was a cold night. As I remember, it must have been 20, 25 below zero outside. Oh, it was cold. And I went in and I sat down, and I tried to read something, and I couldn't read, Fred. And I remember walking to the hall window, and I had to get the frost off before I could look down the road. And I looked, and I looked, and I looked, and I looked. Looked for the coming of the car with the family. But you know, they didn't come. They didn't come. Oh my, the thought gripped my heart. The Lord's come. You've been left behind. Oh, what an awful thought that was. You know that at last I could stand it no longer. And I went to the phone, and I called the home of a Christian. Why was I glad and relieved to hear him say that there was a service in the hall that night, and that my folks must have stayed. And I went to bed. And you know, I went to sleep. And there was a mercy. God didn't let me sleep into eternity that night. I'd have been lost tonight. The next day, the 1st of January, 1930, was the day of our Sunday school treat. My, what a large gathering we had. My, there must have been, 300 people gathered in the hall for that treat. And I had a piece to say. What then? What then? Oh my, I wish I could repeat it for you right now. I should have kept it up. But listen, I went along to the Sunday school treat, but oh, I didn't feel happy. I couldn't eat something new for me, as Brother Kirk would witness. But I just couldn't eat. Miserable. And I got up and I left the table, and I came up through the basement, up the stairs, and as I came to the top of the stairway, I saw a dear man, Mr. George Benner, and he'd been speaking to one of three brothers, and as I stood at the top of the stairs, he turned from the first one to the second one. And I knew just what he was talking to them about. And I went and I got in line. I thought maybe he'd speak to me. You know, he spoke to the second one for a few moments. He turned to the third one. He spoke to him briefly, and he turned away from me. You know, my heart stopped. But you know, I decided I'm going after him. Oh, listen, friend. I wanted to be saved. I didn't care that there were 300 people in that meeting that night. Listen, beloved friend, I've come to this place. I'm not going to go to hell if I can be saved. I'm not going to go to hell. Oh, I tell you, I suppose it was my old companions. It was the world and its allurements and attractions. It was those things that kept me from being saved. But you know, I came to the place where I'm not going to go to hell if I can be saved. And I started after this great big preacher, and he took two or three strides away from me, and he just wheeled like this. I don't know why. I think he must have left his Bible back in the other corner. And I just lit right in his arms. You know, he said, "What's your name?" I told him. He says, "Are you saved?" I says, "No, but I want to be. No, but I want." I tell you, friend, listen, I meant that. I meant that. I meant that with all my heart. I want to be saved. Well, the dear man took me to one side and he opened up his Bible. And you know, he went over one verse after another, and I knew those verses fine. Why, I could repeat them one after another for you. But you know, they just didn't seem to help me. Oh, he went to the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. And he put my name in there. But he was wounded for Clark McClellan's transgression. He was bruised for Clark McClellan's iniquities. The chastisement of Clark McClellan's peace was upon him. And with his stripes, Clark McClellan is he. But you know, friend, I knew the gospel so well. Why, I can't recall a day when I didn't believe that I was a sinner. I can't recall a day when I didn't believe if I died as a sinner, I'd be lost. I can't recall a day when I didn't believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was the only Savior of sinners. And that he had died for sinners. Why, I believed that. Believed it all my life. Why, friend, I had absolutely no question in my mind at all. I believed the Lord Jesus Christ was the only Savior of sinners. You know, sometimes we have a lot of trouble with that word believing, don't we? But listen, here's the thing. I believed all about him, but I wasn't believing on him, I wasn't trusting him. I wasn't believing on him as the one who died for me, who purchased my salvation. You know, friend, you can believe all about the trains that leave Atlantic or Villisca. You can know all about them. Believe all about them and stay right here. If you want to leave Atlantic by train for Chicago, then you're going to have to trust yourself to that train. You're going to have to rest in that train and allow the train to carry you. But by and by, this dear man brought me back to that lovely verse I read, John 3:16. For God so loved Clark McClellan. Quietly he went over that verse. That he gave his only begotten son for Clark McClellan. Gave him to die for me. Gave him to die in my place. That if Clark McClellan believes in him, Clark McClellan should not perish but have everlasting life. And listen, friend, just as he went over that verse, oh, I didn't see a great sight. No. I didn't have a great feeling. Mind you, I got that too. But I got it after I got saved. But listen, as he was going over that verse, I just drink it in. The Lord Jesus died for me. Oh, I wasn't interested in anybody else that night but myself. And I saw, beloved friend, that when the Savior died, he was dying in my place. That Jesus had paid for my debt of sin. That he had settled all the claims of the Holy God against me. You know, I turned to the dear man and I said, I'm saved. It just came to me like that. The Lord Jesus died for me, and I believed him. Oh, friend, how simple it was. Why, I never stopped to say another word to him. I just got right up when I left him. I had to find my dear mother. Though I remember my Sunday school teacher was standing there. What do you suppose he was doing while he was praying, God save that boy? I said, Victor, I'm saved. And away I went. I met my boyfriend's mother. Mrs. Irwin, I got saved. I went to my dear mother. Mother, I got saved tonight. Oh, listen, friend, are you saved? I wouldn't trade places with you. Wouldn't matter who you are. Not for all this world has to offer if you're not saved tonight. But listen, another little experience as I close. The next morning, listen, oh no, before that, I got home. And I'll not forget that first time I can see the bed, the bedroom, and I can remember getting down beside my bed. Oh, I can't tell you what I said, friend. But oh, from this little heart of mine, I said, thank you. Thank you, thank you for dying for a sinner like me. Have you ever thanked him for dying for you? You mean to tell me, friend, it doesn't mean anything to you? You mean to tell me that there's no response in your heart to such love? To such a wonderful work, oh, I thanked him. The next morning I went out into the barn and my father was there working. Good morning, Dad, and I want to tell you, if there was ever a fellow was up around the clouds, I was. If there was ever a fellow came down quick, it was me. Dad says, good morning, son, are you still saved? Well, you know, I tell you, friend, I hit the bottom for a minute. Just to think, oh, was it possible that maybe I'm not saved today? Is it possible? I tell you, friend, I'm glad he said that to me now, because I just had to stop for a minute right standing there in the doorway. I didn't make a move. And I said, look, Dad, last night I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and he saved me, and I'm still saved. Oh, friend, God grant that that will be the experience of everyone. Saved. Yes, and thank God that we can say too to his glory, satisfied. God bless you. Saved. Those who are not saved.